the Lord has been so good and so kind to us. Since we arrived on this mountain, since on Wednesday. And tomorrow morning service will be the last final session. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like you're not happy about that. Can we thank God for that? The Bible says in all things give thanks. Come on. Thank God for making this a very successful meeting, a very successful gathering. Amen. And the one that will be the beginning of great things. It's such a great privilege to be here. I am so happy to see everyone. And it's been such sweet fellowship. I want to encourage all branch pastors and their members who can, those who are here should remain here, and those who are not here should look for a central location, either their church or anywhere, where they can watch live stream. Those are for the branches, because I want us to listen and to watch. I want us to hear as one people, because I might be downloading some, especially second service, I'll be teaching on some things and giving some information that will describe the future that is just right in front of us. And so I will want us to listen to that at the corporate level. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight is a great night because the Lord has a lot in store for us. I want to believe that the leaders of various fellowships and the members of various fellowships who came down were able to have their meetings, or rather the meeting they planned to have today. How was it? It was a good one. All right. So this morning, we had a good time this morning, and we felt this morning that the Lord was beginning to instill and install the heart, or what I would call this, what we call the calling to be called of God. Amen.
Amen.
We began to sense the weight of that in the morning, where God began to let us know that, you know, how many of you felt this morning you had this strong knowing that you are here for a definite assignment, and you cannot afford to be frivolous. How many of you felt that way this morning? And you know, we just really thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you the truth. You see, when your heart begins to align properly, amen, and your heart begins to perceive the Lord the way it should, it is a miracle. The shifting of hearts and the adjustment of hearts, it's not a natural thing. It is the glory of God that adjusts hearts. I tell you the truth. The adjustment of hearts, you know, how many of you remember New Year resolution? No matter how serious you were, did you notice that there was none of it that you were able to keep? Eh? Sometimes you keep your resolution for 2 weeks. And then you go back to who who you are. So when you see hearts adjusted, you would see that it is a work of the Holy Spirit. You see. Are we together here?
Yes,
sir. So we thank God for that miracle that we experienced in the morning. Now, I will be giving us about five important instructions that is fundamental to spiritual productivity and spiritual longevity. There are a number of them, but I will give you five of it. In my list, the one I wrote last is the one I want to say first. You know, because I don't want to end with it. So let me start with it. The last on my list is, you are almost finished if you marry the wrong person. Now, the reason why I didn't say you are finished is because I'm not God. The only reason why you are not finished is the sovereignty of God. That even though you are finished, His sovereignty can make you not to be finished. No marriage is a greater success than a bad one. No marriage is greater success than bad. If you did not marry, you have succeeded than the person who has the bad one. No marriage, not marrying in life, is a great achievement compared to marrying. You see, when you marry who you should not marry, the only desire you will have is never to be married. Like it, you will be praying, God, is it possible for me not to be married? I trust you, God, if I'm not married, if you can do this miracle of me not being married. Like now I'm married, but God, can I not be married? Can I tell you? Bad marriage. And in this context, what I mean by bad marriage, I want you to, the sound is good, but my voice is bad. So you have to maybe increase the power of the sound so that I won't work my voice too much. How many of you have lost your voice in this choir? If you have lost your voice, raise your hand. No, not in the choir. Stand up if you have lost your voice. It's a very bad thing. Why would they lose their voice? It's a very bad thing. When you are singing, you should know how not to lose your voice. It's not a good thing. How can you be a choir person and you lost your voice? So why did you lose your own voice? Cold, not because of the singing. All right, sit down. Why did you lose your voice? Weather and stress. Why did you lose your voice? Singing. Why? Eh? Why did you lose your voice? Weather. Sit down. Cough. Sit down. Not enough sleep. Cough. You see? You are the only one. You are surprised too. It's not good for a musician to lose their voice. There's a technique in not losing your voice. So she'll stand up for how many hours do you want to stand up for? How many hours do you want to stand up for? You can't even talk at all. But the praise she led today was very powerful. Yes. You can sit down, sit down, sit down. So So, you cannot afford to have a bad marriage. And when I mean bad marriage, I'm not talking of your experience in the marriage. I'm talking about marrying the person God will not have you marry. That's all I'm calling a bad marriage. I'm not calling a bad marriage. I'm not talking about crisis in marriage. I'm talking about marital decision that is not sanctioned by God. You see, why does God lead us in marriage? The reason is because if you make a marital decision, you are making it based on the current circumstance. Are you together with me? Because man does not have the ability to see the future. So all your decisions is going to be based on current circumstances. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, but why God leads us is that the tomorrow you don't see, He sees it. You see, you don't know how somebody will be tomorrow. Have you noticed that? You don't know. You see, that's one of the things that I have noticed, that you can never predict how somebody will be tomorrow. It's a very powerful thing that you don't know how somebody will be tomorrow. How many of you have had situations where someone who was your closest ally today and another person who was not even somebody you took seriously, also that same period, years later, the thing just... Have you noticed that thing? It's a very strange thing. Like somebody you never trusted eventually became the most trustworthy person. And the person you trusted. The person ate your eye without even boiling it. It's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. Now, the point I'm making is that we don't have the ability to know tomorrow. It's one of the things God did for us so that He can still be God. You know, sometimes when you are making decisions, God will just be smiling. And I said, this guy not my guy. God will just say, God will smile. And you say, this guy not my enemy. God will just smile. So, because of that, for example, you can marry someone who you think is most submissive. And heaven is like laughing, like it's the biggest joke. But you are sure that you have gotten a submissive woman. And then there's another person that you think, you see, is a lion. Are you together with me? You see, and sometimes you think you have gotten a beauty queen. Or, you see, you have gotten an handsome block. What do they call it? Blog. In years later, you will find out that there's nothing handsome about this person. I remember I had this friend then who was going to marry a particular lady who was not very beautiful. Then, she was not very beautiful. She is like a beauty in the eye of a beholder. Not all beholders, like... She was not so beautiful. And he had the opportunity to marry a lot of beautiful ladies. And a lot of beautiful ladies wanted to marry him. You see, then one day, the Lord now told him, this lady who doesn't look beautiful, you see, is the one I chose for you. Then he told me by himself, so he was struggling with it. He told me by himself. So one day he was praying. Then he had a vision. In that vision, the Lord now showed him the lady who wasn't so beautiful and showed him the lady in the future. And when he saw the lady in the future, you see, He said she was completely different. And the Lord said, the Lord told him, what she doesn't have now, she'll have later. Friends, years have passed. I'm telling you the truth. When you bring that lady then and the lady now, Kai. You see, one looks like the old creation. The one looks like a new creation. I tell you the truth. She's so beautiful. I tell you. I saw her recently. I'm like, what? This girl is beautiful, man. She's so beautiful. So you cannot tell the future. I tell you. So that gentle girl that you think is gentle might cut your neck with knife tomorrow. Can I tell you another thing? You don't know the challenges that you will face tomorrow. You see, life is full of challenges. You see, if you are doubting that, have a meeting with me and I will tell you about challenges of life. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I've been through quite an amount of challenges. Maybe that's why God gave me high levels of joy. I'm telling you, it's rare. I've not met anyone who has more joy than me. I'm a very happy person. You see, because I think it's because God knows the amount of sorrow, you see, that will come my way. So he augmented it with joy. You see, I've experienced things that if you experience, you'll close shop. Yeah. You see, but as you see me so. I tell you, you don't know tomorrow. So, two things. The first thing is, you have to build the type of relationship with God there. Where it becomes easy for you to know, you know, what God chooses for you. So that when it's time for marriage, you will just know this is the person God chose for me. You see, when I was going to get married, the person I currently married, is not the one I wanted to marry. You see, because I felt this one cannot work. So I looked for somebody else who I felt like this one will work. Because that other person knows how to please me. You see, there's something about me. Because I'm a very vision-oriented person, one of the things that I hate is I like when my environment does not stress me. You see, one of the ways not to see me is to stress me. If you stress me, you will not see me. I walk away from stress because I am mentally busy. So one of the things I hate is stress. You know, so I arrange my life away from stress. In fact, I believe that the reason for money is to take out stress. So I use my money to plug and fit in the holes where stress can come out from. I don't like stress. And I also don't like to stress anybody. You understand? When I notice that what I'm telling you to do is looking like stress. That's why I don't lay hands on anyone who doesn't look like I want to lay hands on him. Like if I'm laying hands and I see you and you are looking like, you are not looking like I want to lay hands on you. You will just, I lay hands on other people. I don't lay hands because I don't want to stress you. Yes, and maybe my hand will not work for you. So I pass it. But when I see somebody who wants me, you see, that's how I live my life. That's a little about my story. A little. So, you see, you have to allow the one who knows tomorrow to make tomorrow decisions for you. Marriage is one of tomorrow's, you know, decisions. You see, one of the greatest decisions I made in my life is the decision of marrying who God will have me marry. Not who I wanted to marry. Now, who God made me marry is now who I want to marry. You see, because that's another thing. You don't know how somebody will be tomorrow. But you don't also know how you will be tomorrow. A very strange thing, though. So, you know, because you will make a marital decision based on who you are now. But who shall you be tomorrow? So when you have changed tomorrow,
you will now find that who you married based on who you were yesterday. And I wonder, how did I marry this person? You see, that's what usually happens in campus relationships, why it does not work many times. You see, because the lady does not yet know who she is. You understand? When she agreed to marry the man of God. You know, if there's anyone who suffers in relationships, a man of God. Because, you see, when a man of God is on campus, he is a star. And the reason why he's a star is that the cost of stardom is cheap in the university. You understand? The cost is not very expensive. So, but when he steps out of university, the challenges of outside uni are more. You know, in uni, if you have a good apartment, and then you are the man of God, you are a star. You see, but you are a star in that junction, maybe Iwuruko Junction or... Say macaroni. Like, maybe 3 meter, like, is a 3 meter territory. But, you know, university, one of the lies university gives to all of us, is that university gives you the, like, is you will almost assume that you'll be here forever. That's why if you see people who are investing fighting, they will be fighting as though they will fight, as though even when they born their children will fight. But the shocking thing is during clearance, your eye will just open that. Like ordinary, you are just doing clearance. The thing will just, don't know, you collate you. Collate you. So you see, when the lady, are you? I don't know if you are listening to me. Like, now, when she was agreeing to, you know, the guy heard God and told her that the Lord told him, he said that the lady is his wife, you know, and then she also hears God. I said, Kai, the Lord told me the same thing. So, after that, when they step out of the university, you see, because now where they are staying is very far apart. You see, and then the cost of visitation is not a small thing. You know, before, attention was easy. Because you just, before you do like this, you have reached our room. Before she does like this, she has reached your room. So it will look as if there's love. You see. Then when they step out, then one is living in Lagos, the other one is living in, you see, in Enugu or Benin. Even if both of them were staying in Lagos, you see, the lady doesn't have the plan. No, none of them is on the island. It's not ready to be on the island. Who is living on the island? None of them is on the island. They are all on the mainland. But you see, the lady does not have a plan. You see, when she's dreaming about her life, she did not plan that she'll be entering Molue. You see, it's not part of her dream. She didn't dream it. She knows. You see, the God that she serves has already told her about the kind of life that she would have. You see. But now she has to be entering that Molue to come and see you. And then you also cannot afford Uber currently because... Because even you right now, you are wondering that what have I come to do in life? You see, because as you step out of the school, it's as though you step out of school and like there is no welcome. And you are wondering, what do I want to do? What do I really want to do with my life? Like you are asking yourself, what do I want to do in life? Because you notice that everything you studied in the university is not useful. You see? So you're asking yourself, what do I want to do in life? Then you are also hearing about the cost of rent. Then the insult from your home. You understand? You know, there's a way mothers release those insults. You are just about to eat. You just say, "Unjeni koni wote mungente." And you cannot really tell them exactly when you are going for service. Because there's one course that needs to clear somewhere. One person is holding your paper. They have assured you rumors that they will wave. They are waving two courses. They are waving. Are you with me? So all those things will not work again. You understand? Then suddenly the lady will lose her peace. She will tell you that her peace, that you need to pray again because... So you see, you don't even know what you will want tomorrow. But God knows who He made. He knows you. He said there are things that you want that God knows you don't want. You are sure you want it. God says, you don't want this thing. It looks like you want it, but you don't really want this thing. So, the marital decision is something that you trust God to make. I say, Lord, whoever you would have me marry, I'm going to marry. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Whoever you have me marry, I'm just going to marry the person. But there are some things that must be in place. Things that you must have a track record of obeying God. Yes, so. Because if you don't have a track record of obeying God, you are not going to marry whoever God will have you marry. But I tell you, if you make a wrong marital decision, it has an effect on your eternity. Who you marry determines whether you will be in revival or not. You see this couple now. See the way they are running to church together. You can't understand what it means to be married to somebody that both of you love to come to church. You can't understand. Where both of you are running to come to church. If you go and marry the wrong person, right now you'll be receiving text. That, where are you? You respect your pastor more than your husband. You see, evil things you'll be hearing. Yes. Then you will not be part of those women who are running home. My husband. Whereas your husband is meant to be, the real husband you were meant to marry. Both of you were meant to sit down in church. see, Pastor Yomi and Pastor Busola, they came from Badagry to be here. Yes. See. They are happy to be here. You know what I'm saying? They are happy to be here. He's not asking her, what are we eating tonight? You know what I'm saying? He will not ask her tonight, Kilamaje. You know what I'm saying? She's not under pressure to cook this night. I tell you. If you go and marry monkey, you are finished. See, Bisola, she's here. Her husband is protocol. He has gone to pick someone. You see, watching online. That's how to marry. That's how to marry. All the women here are not. They are not cracking their brain on what are we going to eat tonight? Blah, 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 blah. Their husband will tell them, relax. Their husband can even go and get it. You see, because the most important thing in the marriage is already being settled. Now, my wife, listen, you are in December. I'm away from my wife. She's taking care of 3 children alone in the house. She's in the UK. And she sent me a message. She said, don't be worried about me. She said, please don't call me. I want you to enjoy yourself and do what you are meant to do. You see? I didn't marry. You have left me and the family. You have left the children. I didn't marry Mumu. You see, because God saw the future. I said, I cannot. This is what this boy will do in the future. Yes. Let's give him a wife that can help, that can. Yes.
But you people marry only, sometimes you marry people who you can use for photo shoot. Are you listening to me? Don't marry nonsense. Listen, if you marry nonsense, you know the advice of your pastor for you when you have married nonsense. There's only one advice. Your pastor will tell you, you have to submit to him. That's the advice I'll give you. That's the only Bible-based advice. I said, you have entered it. Except if your husband is not beating you, if your husband is not doing crazy things, I'll never tell you to. I'll tell you, well, God will use you to form Christ. I'll say, I use. Don't mind nonsense. Don't mind nonsense. Listen, in 100 out of all the 365 days in the year, the days you will have feelings for your husband might not be half of those 365 days. Feelings is not very common in marriage. There's some feelings. There's you know, that feelings you are currently having, I'm telling you that his value is not a big thing. I posted my wife on my status. Her response to my post was that she bribe. Guess what? She's correct. I said, I've been focused on this thing too much. Let me let my wife think. Let me just, she's hearing me. She said this, but I said, boy, it's okay. I'll keep looking at it. Thank you for the ride. I posted her like 5. I said, baby girl of life. Blah, 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 blah. She said, bribe. You see, the feeling stuff, we work it out. You start working it. It's not like, it's not a natural thing. You work it, you know. And then you have feelings by faith sometimes. You'll be confessing, I love my wife, I like to be with my wife, I love my wife. Love my wife. All those pictures you are seeing, some of it is out of confession. It's not like it is always natural like that. You say, I love my wife. I love her with all my heart. I follow my wife. Yeah. And that's true love. Yeah. When you have decided that I love this one, when you feel like it or you don't feel like it, you know. And then God begins to work it in you. That's the true love. Are you with me? So don't make, the way your life will take a strange trajectory when you marry the wrong person is a very bad thing. I didn't plan to say this one, but let me say it about marriage. I didn't plan it. But let me quickly tell you some basic things you should not marry. You should not marry. Hear me. For the women, let me tell you this one. You see, don't ever marry a man who is indifferent about God. Don't. Indifferent about God. Just where God is not like the main thing. Don't, like, no matter how handsome or how kind he is, don't.
You see, because that is going to be the state of your home. You see, you can be more, you can be more spiritually mature than your husband, but make sure that he has more hunger than you. There are cases where you can be more spiritual than you, because maybe you got saved before him and all of that. But he must have, because in the realms of the spirit, maturity is measured in hunger. So if somebody who is born again today is more hungry than someone who has been saved for a while, it's just a matter of time. The hungry one will. So don't marry a man who is indifferent about God. You see, also, some men who are indifferent about God, some will show it, some will not show it. You know, those who don't show it, those are the real criminals. Those ones will, they will have the church language. But you will notice it will spill. You will see the spill in some things. For example, they'll have friends who are not saved. When you notice that your husband has one Yahoo boyfriend that they are close, and he's always going to church, but he has a Yahoo friend that is close. You see, that's him. Again, I just my guy Ajo Dagbani. No, you see, one in Dagbalo, they are still together. When you notice, he still has one Yahoo boy that they are close. Like, any problem he has is that Yahoo boy. When you notice that Yahoo boy is helping people settle quarrel. Are you with me? Don't try it. And some of the men I'm talking about, they are here. Listen, let me say this to you. Hear me. Men are hunters. And it's one of the prerequisites for being an hunter is the ability to disguise. You see, when a hunter wants to kill something, it can start crawling like a snake. You disguise. So the hunter will not let the prey know who he is. It's important for the hunter. And men are natural hunters. But it will spill. But you see, if you have not dealt with your lust, even when it is spilling, you do as if you are not seeing it. Because all of us have lust, no matter how spiritual you are. Every one of us have lust. There is something worldly that all of us wish God can add to our spouses. All of us. I'm the only one here who doesn't have it. Am I not telling the truth? Leko, am I lying? Eh? 100%. Okay, am I lying? Eh? I'm lying. It's true, Toby. Mike, am I not telling the truth? I'm telling the truth. Lalu? I tell you, aside from me, all men, every human being, we all have a particular lust. Now, when you haven't tamed that lust there, that lust will be your blind spot. You have to love the Lord more than your lust. You have to love the Lord more than your lust. That is true spirituality. So don't ever marry a man who is indifferent about God. Indifferent about God. You see? His personal walk with God is indifferent about it. Or you marry somebody who is finding it comfortable having sexual relationships with you. It's a very bad thing. You see, it's not about that he's sleeping with you. That's not the point. The point is, he must be something for him to be able to live life like that. You see? Now, don't marry somebody who is indifferent about God. You will see the spills. It will spill. You will just have unsaved friends who have a lot of... Should I tell you the second one?
Yes, sir.
That's the second one?
Yes, sir.
This one is very serious. I'm talking about the men now. You see, don't marry a man whose family does not respect him. Like his own family does not respect him. You see, you have been introduced into the disrespect. If your husband's family don't respect him, what's your lot? Your head, they don't respect your head. Let me give an example. You are going somewhere. You carry mopo with you. And then somebody bash your car. And then you step out and you tell your mopo, deal with him. And your mopo steps out. And the person who debashed your car, the person who you bash your car, the person steps out. And your mopo immediately sees him and says, Shota! Now, what's your own destiny? Shoti, yeah. Man fell koto man for she year. It's very important. A man who he is not respected. You see, because you know, in Yoruba culture, they will say that it's the woman that is leaving her family, and that's Yoruba. But in Bible doctrine, the Bible says a man shall leave. You see, any man that is comfortable in marrying you in his father's house, a man shall leave his father and his mother. You know, the reason why I'm talking this is that I used to assume these things are basic knowledge, but I found out that people don't know these basic things. A man shall leave his father and his mother. Like someone who cannot tell his parents, this is the direction the Lord is leading me to. Someone who has to get approval from his mother, anything he wants to do. You want to marry such a thing. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So you will find out that the wife will have to please his lineage. You see? She has a lineage, so she must be a good, not just a good wife. She has to be a good daughter. She has to be a good sister. So she's a good daughter to the husband's mother. She has to be a good sister to the husband's sisters. She has to be a good niece. She has to be a good nephew. You see, she has to be a lot of things. I tell you. So you can see the level of pressure. Now, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of you, this is what has wrecked your family, your parents' home. You know what I'm talking about. So there is something called man. There is something called man. There's something called man. When you say husband, there must be a stability. I say man. You see, there's something called man. That when you join yourself with him, you know you are covered. Because people who disrespect your husband can never respect you. Your husband is your head now. Your husband can never respect you. So, men, if you have not yet, and it's not with agidi you get respect from your family.
Yes.
It's with responsibility.
Yes.
It's a track record. It's not like when you go home now, you say, you have to respect me. There is a reason why they don't respect you. You see, some of you are not deserving of the respect. You have to have shown a track record of sensibility, of responsibility for you to have those type of respect. And that is when you deserve to have a wife. Are you together with me? The third thing, I don't want to say only three things. Because you'll never meet a perfect person. Listen, so I'm just giving you three things that are that you can't. These three ones are not part of imperfection. They are not part of weakness. Okay, you know, my weakness is that I just don't love the things of God. My weakness is that my family, I just don't know how to get respect from mommy. Those ones are not weaknesses. Are you with me?
Yes,
sir. You know, I told you today I'll give you instructions.
Yes, sir.
You see, it is in instructions we preserve the future.
Yes, sir.
Do you know in scripture, wisdom is instruction?
Yes.
That's what wisdom is, instructions. I'm telling you, instructions. You see, when I give you these instructions, then the amount of people you can marry will reduce. You see, one of the signs that a woman is in the right track is that the amount of people she can marry has reduced. That means God has somebody for her. You see, when too many people can marry you, is that you are still in Satan's pool. But when too many people can't marry you, it's a sign that God has a husband for you. But if anybody can marry you, like, you're just happy that, I'm just having toasters. You see, when your toasters are too much, it's a bad sign. It's not a good sign. It's not a good thing. Like, people are toasting you every time. You see, because there must be something attracting. You see, you should be the kind of woman that stupid people don't want. Are you already angry?
No.
Wait for the last one I want to say. You see, never marry a man who doesn't have a pastor. Never.
Never.
He doesn't have a pastor or he doesn't have a spiritual father. A man who has all the people in relationship are his equals. Everybody is his guy. Even people who are obviously ahead of him. Zana, my guy. But don't marry someone who doesn't have a pastor. You see, don't marry somebody who is not afraid that you'll report him to somebody. No, don't. Don't do that. You must marry somebody who has a pastor. You see? Who has a pastor. Somebody who has a father. A spiritual father. Not somebody who will call your mother when you see some men, they are very strange men. Very strange thing. I hear strange things. Mommy, omointu ti bere. You know that's very evil. I don't know where they see this kind of men. Like you call your parents, then your wife too will call your dad. Then your parents will now come. And settle. It doesn't matter. Then after a while, the two parents will now start fighting. Then later, your parents will now call the other people's parents. I say, "Ewon omo yin omi like koto omo yin se for mommy." That one, the fight will answer. What a disgrace! You have brought the church to disrepute because of who you chose to go and say yes to. Are you with me? Never. Huh? Never. You must marry a man who he has one or two people in his life that can command him. You see, a healthy man is a man that can be commanded. Don't marry the one everybody can command you. Not the one everybody can command, but you must marry the man who has people who can. You don't understand. They don't have to understand what he's saying. Like there's no need for explanation. A man that say, "Oga, go home and go and do this. Next month we'll talk about the issue." Yes. There are marriages that we have saved just that way. The marriages I just tell,
All right, this matter, we will talk about it later. Right now, this is what you should do. Go home and go and take care of your wife. We'll talk about it next week. Is the thing you used to sweet me? I'll talk about it next week. And that's all. And then by next week, they don't even want to talk about anything. The pastor, we don't settle down. We don't settle down. You see, you must marry a man who is at the risk of losing a precious relationship if he does not treat you well. Yes. Yes. If any of my guys here don't treat their wives well, I will not relate with them again. Yeah. I will not. I will not relate with, I will tell the person, I don't want to see you again. I've done it. It's not, I'm not saying what I don't do. I told one of my guys, I don't want you to ever call me in your life again. You see? I told him, don't ever call me again. I don't know you. You don't know me. Kamakpademo. Yes. 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 Is that serious? And I have a man who will do that to me. And my wife has a man who will do that also to her. Listen, let me say this to you. Your life is going in the direction of your spiritual father's, your husband's spiritual father's life. That's how your man will is going to go. His mentor, who he looks up to. That's how it will go. So if you marry a man who is always hanging out with drunkards, you're in trouble. Let me tell you something beautiful. Hear me. Life is not so expensive. You can. This is a very. I feel this is a word of knowledge. You see. You can start enjoy your life very small. What will make it big is that so far both of you are enjoying God's presence. You just start. You don't have to look for something that's not lost. You don't have to look for a man who can provide this, provide that. No. Does he love God? Do you love God? Don't care about all these external things. They will come by itself. My wife and I have never bought Ashwebi before in our life. And the reason is that we married poor, so we could not afford Ashwebi. So we now used it as like principle. You see, but it's not really principle. You see, but you know why it's easy not to buy Ashwebi? Because we are okay. We don't have a desire to impress anybody. So it's okay to decide we never buy Ashwebi. Let everybody wear blue. If me and my wife appear, we appear in our yellow. My wife is even worse. My wife can wear jeans. My wife is worse. They say they can wear jeans and top. And she will be the happiest person in the whole. You must make it. You see, the few times my wife and I nearly had an accident was on bike. And it was because I was playing with her on the bike. You know why I was tickling on the bike? Because the Lord told me I must enjoy every season of my life. So I used to tickle my wife on the bike, and sometimes the bike man is. I tell you, where you have the, you see, where you sit yourself down where and decide that this is my life, I will enjoy it. We are not looking for what's not lost. This is my life. I will enjoy. So the first money I gathered there, the most important thing that I needed to buy in my old house was AC. And it was put in my room, not my parlor. Let heat kill everything. Every- But that room, nothing must go on there. Nothing must go wrong there. Let the parlor be this thing. I tell my wife, you see, when we first go, I said, you don't stop cleaning the, you are cleaning the house too much. So you will be tired. Be, let's be happy. Let's, I like it dirty. Leave it. Recently, one day, the house was scattered. I said, Zach, I'm enjoying this still. So I said, yeah, enjoy my life. Let me dirty. It's in our house. Let's rest. Can't be walking every time. Walk. Just walk. You are now tired. Okay, what did you now come and do in life? Both of you have walked. You can't enjoy yourself. When my baby was just a few months, there was a day I carried. I can't even tell you. See, if I tell some of this, I'll do you. So don't marry. Don't compare your wife to your mother. And don't put her on distress. Don't make your mother's hard work be your wife's standard. My mother raises of us. Can we welcome Papa Ayo, Papa Ayo to the house? Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Sit down. Are you with me, friends?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You just married a very beautiful young lady. Enjoy her. You see? Because if she was not married, she's still in the market. So now that she's married, let her still look like she's in the market. So don't add 10 years to her because she married. Yeah? Are you with me, friends?
Yes, sir.
So those are like the three things for the men. For women, the men you should not. What's the first one? Indifferent about God. Don't. Because you won't be able to say that I and my household will serve the Lord. Like, why won't you be able to say that? Like, with all the problems in life, why will your family not be serving the Lord? It's a bad thing, don't you think it is? It's a very bad thing. It's a very bad thing. I tell you, there are fewer things more joyful than serving the Lord with your spouse. Are you with me? Also, don't marry one whose family, who has not earned the respect of his family. I've told you, what's the third one? A man who doesn't have a pastor. You know, the Lord told me many years ago that a man who listens to no one is just like a demon. You see, when you meet a man who says, I only listen to Jesus, I only listen to God, I don't listen to man. You see, it's like a demon. Because that's the perfect behavior of demons. Demons never leave a place except you cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, you can't tell a demon, what you are doing is not good, can you leave? And you call other senior people to talk. I say, demon, you know, you need to leave this person. Otifi, I judge you. Demon will not leave. But immediately you just say, in Jesus, out. It will not go. So a man who only listens to God or to Jesus is a demon. You see. A man should listen to man. Are you with me, friends? So those are like the three things. You know, I'm usually a bit harder on the men, kind of. You know why? Because the men, according to the Bible, they are the one playing the role of Christ. So if a man like, let him go and marry anything he wants to marry, he will die for her. That's his business. Eh? If you like, open your eye and go and marry anything. The Lord will keep telling you, you are Christ. You see, the Lord died. You see the kind of church Jesus died for, the kind of people he died for. You understand? There is no wife that is worse than the condition of the earth when Jesus died for mankind. So for God so loved the world, you see, that he gave his only begotten son. So open your eye and do what you want to do. And you will go through the consequences. Are you with me? But I think the counsel goes almost the same way. You see, marry a woman who loves the Lord. Marry a woman who loves the Lord more than she loves you. Marry a woman who loves the Lord. You see, the greatest sign that somebody loves God is not only their engagement with the church. The greatest sign is brokenness. You see, brokenness is the major sign that somebody loves the Lord. Yes. Meaning that someone who can be made to do what they don't feel like doing. Eh? I tell you, you see, brokenness will save you. When you are with somebody who is broken, you see, somebody who is broken will automatically be kind. Yeah. You need a broken person. But somebody who is not broken, who will always do what they want to do. Ah. It's not an easy thing to be married to somebody. You see, anyone God cannot reach, you can't reach. Are you with me? So one of the signs that somebody loves the Lord, one of the things you will notice their what? Their brokenness. You see, it will not be complete brokenness, but you will see the brokenness in their relationship with the Lord and in their relationship with others. You see. So you have to allow the Lord, are you with me, to lead you. And I tell you the truth, it's not a difficult thing. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord leading you in making marital decisions is not a difficult thing. At the right time, it will just be seamless. You see, when you notice that it's too complicated and all of that, it's because it's not yet the right time. At the right time, it will be the easiest decision you are making. Are you with me? And I'm telling you that 99% of times, your early years in uni can never be the right time. I tell you, because your early years in uni, what a relationship will do to you is to give you many reasons to ask for forgiveness. Because it will just be a sin city. I tell you the truth. So in your early years of uni, I want you to forget it. You will just find that every Sunday, every Wednesday service, when you are crying, worshiping the Lord, it's actually forgiveness you are asking. Even though people are saying, oh Lord, we will serve you. You are saying, oh Lord, forgive me. And then you don't want to live that kind of life. That will slow your journey. Am I not telling you the truth? Yes. You know, it's a good thing to tell you the truth. I'm not to lie to you. So you need to allow the Lord lead you, you see. But that's because you have built a track record
of God leading you. Let's move on quickly. I'm giving you instructions. I said tonight I just want to give instructions. You know, not too much of teaching. I'll give you bullet points. You must be careful, especially for those of us who perceive you have a call to the ministry. You must be careful to deal with your lust for ministry and lust for power. You have to be careful to deal with it. You see, because if you don't deal with it, you open the door for a lot of strange things that you might never recover from. And how can I deal with it? I'll tell you that. You must find out the difference, and I'll tell you what it is. The difference between lust for ministry and power and love for the Lord. They look very similar, but there is a difference. And the difference is found in the posture of your heart. It is in your heart that the difference can be found. You see, lust for ministry or lust for power. If you have lust for power, you see, you qualify to negotiate with Satan. Lust for power. You know, if Jesus had lust for power, he would have messed up that day when the enemy came and tempted him. Lust for power. Lust for power, lust for ministry. You must be given to what? To loving the Lord. Which will be reflective in ministry. You see, but there are two different things. You know, what, by Jesus or by Jonah, now, what's his name? By Jesus. The challenge he had was lust for power. Lust for power. And lust is always about self. That's the difference. Lust will always be about, it will be about promoting yourself. It won't be about Jesus being glorified. It will be about, it's like you have a dream to be at a level like other people. You are just like, can I be like these people? And I tell you, before you know it, you will go contract a strange spirit. Let me say this to you quickly. I will say this to you quickly. That you can contract a strange spirit, you see, by going... You see, listen, don't joke with lust. Lust can make you rationalize evil. Don't joke with lust, too. If you don't deal with lust, you will find yourself in the house of an herbalist. You will think you can't. But when your lust continues like that, you will find yourself there. Or two, and that's not the only way to contract an evil spirit. You can contract an evil spirit when you lock your heart with somebody who has contracted an evil spirit. Yes. The spirit of that person, that evil spirit will work in you through impartation of heart connection. And the reason you didn't have that discernment was because of the lack of the love of God in your heart. Yes. You see, you must not want anything that God has not given you. I tell you, you have to deal with it. And lust manifests, you see, when you have lust, even aside from loss of power, when you have loss, even with Bible, you might have a loss to say something that nobody is saying. Before you know it, you will be abusing God in teaching. Like, you know, we've seen it in the book of Corinthians. The Bible says some people were cursing. Like, they got so deep in Revelation, they said, "Cursed be Christ." Like, what kind of revelation? Paul said, "You're already cursing Christ." Like, somebody else said, "Curse me." Like, what in Jesus shake me? Like, "Curse me, Christ." Maybe they've said that Christ is not the main thing. That there is another, maybe Christopher, or there's something else that is higher than Christ. Are you with me? Listen. The Lord is not revealed via the energy of man. You don't force God revealed. If God is there, he's there. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? If you like, say, "Lord, I want to teach on love. There are five types of love. Agape." You can say all of that and the room will be full of hatred. Yes. As you are saying it, people are hating themselves. As you are teaching on love.
You say, you know, agapao, agapao is from the word agao and pahao. And people are hating themselves. And there is another person who will just say, God wants you to love him. Love God. Love God. Love him. Love him. And you are broken and you are in love with the Lord. Because the Lord has chosen to move through that vessel. So it's not the energy of, you see, if you live here now, for example, and you want to practice maybe what Papa Ayo is doing or the way I'm speaking, maybe you just, you take the mic and say, is it not a good thing? I said, Pastor Zach, is it like this? Is it not a good thing? And he was prophesying, laughing. He said, and you go to church the next day and you say, is it not a good thing? And people will just look at you, what are you okay here? Are you with me, friends?
Yes.
You have to deal with loss. Kole, kole to you. Listen, if you remove drama out of your life, you will introduce speed. If you remove drama out of your life, you would introduce divine speed. Stop the drama. Stop the drama. You don't have to always prophesy if you don't have a prophetic word. You don't have to. You see, listen, and people don't have to respect you. You see, wisdom is justified or is our children. Just focus. Wisdom is justified by what? Our children. When there is wisdom, there will be fruit. Wisdom is not by noise. There will be fruit. So don't stress yourself. The person who God has used you to touch will not doubt that this is the man God used to touch me. Is it not Paul that plants and Apollo water? And God has told us, I'm in charge of increase. The day you want to manipulate increase, you step into an office that is not your own. You can't manipulate increase. I'm giving you exact. You see? You can't manipulate what? Increase. You see? You must be faithful in planting. And what? And watering. You can't manipulate increase. You don't have to be known. You don't have to be popular. You know what? Ask me why. Because you will remember that you didn't die for the world. Don't you know? Like, why should you be popular? What sacrifice did you make? When the world was in sin, did the Lord send you to die for the world? So why should it be you? People should know. I'm thinking it's the person who paid the price that the world should know. You understand? Don't you think the knowledge of you does not lead to salvation?
Yes.
I don't know. Do you think if people know you more, they will be saved? Like there's another name by which man can be saved. The name of Lekan. I don't know. You know, Lekan looks like a name that men hear it, they will break. It's not like they will be saved. Lekan. Like something that breaks. They'll run away. You know. So it's important that we don't appear.
Yes.
Can I tell you something that will be nice?
Yes, sir.
This one will be a nice thing if I tell you. You see, when you don't appear and Jesus is glorified there, you give hope to others.
Yes.
Because others then see that I don't have to be something for Jesus to be glorified.
Yes.
Yeah. You see, your simplicity gives hope. That if God can use this person, they can use anybody. And that's why the Bible told us that it is important to God that the vessel is put in earthen vessel. The treasure is put in earthen vessel. Don't spiritualize the vessel. If your vessel is too spiritualized, you are telling other vessels that the reason why something is coming out from me is because I'm a super vessel. And there are no super vessels. Earthen vessels, weak vessels. No drama. No drama. You are good enough. Your voice is perfect enough. Your height is perfect enough.
Hallelujah.
You understand? If you tiptoe, nothing will flow.
Yes, sir.
If you stand on your toes, the thing is not flowing from height. So don't have a lust for power. Don't have a lust for it. Have a love for the Lord. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Is this doing you good at all?
Yes.
I'm very happy that you are here. I'm happy that you are here. Can I tell you another one?
Yes, sir.
fight for consistency in your fellowship with the Lord. Fight for it. Fight for it. Fight for it. Why do I say fight? Because it will not be fun every time. But fight for it. Make sure that you put around you things that will aid fellowship with the Lord. Are you together with me? Fight for it. Fight for it. Can you say, I'll fight for it? Okay. Avoid thinking that like you are always, that you are in the spirit, you're always praying. Try and get a time where you pray. Try and get people that pray with you. And then try and pray always. Maybe I should talk about that one. Try and pray how? Always. You see, the presence of God, are you listening to me? The presence of God, it manifests primarily via awareness. Did you hear that? Via what? Awareness is your most powerful tool in the release of God's presence. I tell you the truth. So aside from your devotional prayers, make sure that any, however you are living, the internal communication must remain. You must train yourself that way. Or else you'll be a son of God early in the morning during devotion, but you'll be a child of Satan in the afternoon, because you are waiting for the next morning before you talk to God again. So it means that if I'm talking to people, I'm checking within before I speak my next word. I'm just checking within. Not like I'm checking to yell. No, I'm just checking to feel what's going on inside. And that feeling is what is coming out of me and is affecting my responses and how I speak and what I say. You see, that way you'll find out that gossiping will be difficult. Because when you are living from within, you just see, that's how we grow in the presence and the glory and the power and all of that. You see, when God sees that you value him, he will show up. And it makes you not to be religious. So you have to uphold consistency in your fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Also, in your journey, God is going to give you some very pivotal relationships. Let me tell you two of it or three of it. One pivotal relationship is your local assembly. You see, in your local assembly, there's going to be pivotal relationships there. Don't break your relationship with your local assembly. Huh? Huh? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Your local assembly. The one you know the Lord has planted you in. You see, if God plants you and you uproot yourself, where else shall you be planted? Are you together with me? So don't joke with it. Don't joke with people who God has made you know. Maybe God has let you know. This person is your spiritual father. This person. No, don't cut off. The consequences, it's too consistent in your old journey. It's not event. It's not an event. It's an event that speaks. And it can take you off track. You see, because the reason why we are blessed is because of supply. You see, blessing is a consequence of supply. And supply is connected to fixing. You see, when you see supply of water, it's because pipes have been fixed. Yes. If one pipe loses something, there will not be supply. Yes. We can't discuss supply except they are joints. Yes. So you should not, you see, take out the joints that the Lord has ordained. Don't do that. For example, the husband and the wife is a joint. Yes, it's a joint. It's important that both of you are fixed. It's important the wife is fixed with the husband. It's important that the husband is fixed with the wife. In fact, God told Peter was speaking and said that it is one of the reasons why prayers are not answered. So you don't want to joke with that. You don't want to trivialize it. I tell you, I was talking the other day, we were preaching, and I said that
the spirit of entrepreneurship and capitalism has is the spirit of that is at work in ministry, especially in the city of Lagos. And that's why we don't really understand what church is. That's why, and if it's capitalism, then it is consumer based and it's profit based. And you know, if it's profit based, if they are servicing you here, if you don't like the services, what do? You go to a competitive a competitor. If those ones who are not serving you, you go somewhere. Now that's not the spirit of Christ. I said that is not the spirit of Christ. Huh? Is it the spirit of Christ? No, it is not the spirit of Christ. That's not the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is built on covenant, on oneness. Oh God. Oh God. What a beautiful thing. Listen, the disciples of Jesus, I said it yesterday, the 12 disciples were disappointed and confused after Jesus died. But you see the level of work that had gone on. That even in their backsliding, they backslid together. That when Jesus was to return, he met the 12. He met them together. Thomas went out to get something, but he was still coming back. Like they were no more, they were confused there. But oneness had been perfected. Oneness had been perfected. And so it was easy for God to get all of them at the same time. So amazing. Isn't this amazing? I said, isn't this amazing? You know, there's nothing we have that we have not received. There's nothing you have that you have not received. And we receive it from men. Sometimes even to natural things. Sometimes you just catch yourself laughing like another man you have always fellowship. Like, laughter can be supplied. You just catch yourself behaving like somebody else. You know, sometimes I catch myself working like Papa. Or sometimes I'll just be working like him. Yeah. I just change. I said, no, this is not it. Let me. I just adjust myself. It's a supply. There's a supply. If you stay long enough, if you stay right enough, what you didn't have in the beginning, you will have later.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Because somebody who has it in the room will supply it to you.
Yeah.
Guess what? You will be unaware of it.
Yeah.
Listen, impartation doesn't happen at the last day of the conference. It happens in every day of our gathering.
Yeah.
It's not Friday night. Isn't this a powerful thing? Now, I'm asking you, don't you think this is a powerful thing?
Yes,
it's like you are doubting me. Is this not a powerful thing?
Yes, sir.
It's a powerful thing. So I don't have to have everything. It means that it's a commonwealth.
Yeah.
It's a commonwealth.
Yeah.
It's a commonwealth. You know, last some weeks ago when we were having our conference in the UK, one of my wife's friends came for the conference and she's Greek. And then I had her explain to us what koinonia is. It was such a beautiful thing. When she explained it, we were just screaming. She had never been in church before. So I told her to read a portion of scripture that had koinonia. And to explain it to us. And so she said it's a type of when people have a thing and everybody has it. It's shared life. So sometimes it's okay if I don't have it, but I think they have it there. It's our own. It's our own. So you see, we have been delivered from the place of lack to the house of plenty. You that you have never prophesied in your life, but you are just okay. Prophecy to one by I do well. The church is a buffet.
Yes.
It's a buffet. Serve yourself. There are different things there. Now, the enemy will make it hard. It will make you cut off. It will make you cut off. But you won't, Abby. You see, don't just half-heartedly say you are going somewhere else. No, don't do that.
In your local assembly, don't do that. I don't like what's going on here. I've never led worship. They've never given me solo. They've never given me solo. Only this person, they are giving solo. Are you with me?
Yes,
how many have I told you?
Four.
Do you want the last one, or I should tell other people?
Yes.
Or the last one, I should make it next year's SOD.
No.
When should I tell you the last one?
Yes.
All right, the last one. Let me tell you the last one. Hear me. Hear me. If you have a heart of service, God will like you. A heart of service. Don't struggle to be the greatest. Don't. Leave the great seat for others.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. Nobody will drag the seat of a servant with you. It's usually empty everywhere you go. You have no competitor. Everybody likes the front seat, the seat of leader. Go and embrace the seat of a servant all the days of your life, because eventually it always shows who God made a leader and who made himself a leader. Listen. And when you are a servant, are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
If you hear this one, you will do well. When you are a servant, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
In the eye of God, you are already the leader. You see, we do too many leadership conferences. We are missing it. The true conferences we should be doing are servanthood conferences. You see, one of the places you are going to see the greatest solidarity is among servants. You will notice house boy and gate man are always close. They usually don't fight. They cooperate. There is unity here when we have servants. You see, it is when we have leaders that there's quarrel. Who is going to sit on your right? Who is going to sit on your left? Have you noticed there's no quarrel on who will not sit at all? I tell you, that's why when the soul's high position, the works of the flesh will increase. Jealousy, envies, and all of that. But we all should be competing to go down. Eh? Competing to what? To go down. Give me my scripture. I think it's the book of Luke. Is it Luke 22? It says, the greatest is us, the servant. Are you with me?
Yes,
the greatest is who? So you see, in God's eyes right now, you know, in our own eyes right now, the greatest people here will pick the people in front. I tell you. But God has a different list. I tell you. The list we are using here is different from God's list. I tell you. The thing used to shock me. And it's scary. God's list is completely different. You see, when you write your own list of the greatest people in this church, if you compare it with God's list, you'll be shocked. God's list is different. You see, when you see the names that God will put, you'll be looking for those people and say, ah. I tell you. That's why I'm struggling, you see. I'm 22 what? 22, 24. I said, look now. I told you, look 22. I know what I'm saying. I'm not. Now, there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And we're just saying, who is the greatest? There was a dispute. All right? And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. You see? All right? But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger. What's the first thing? The greatest must be what?
As the younger.
Now, not that he will be the greatest. He's already the greatest just for being as the younger. You see, that's why there's something wrong here when you want to be the oldest. You know, some people love to be the oldest. Some people will use their mind to calculate your age. And that will determine how they will greet you. It says, let him be the younger. It says, and he who governs us. So there is a way to even govern. He said, well, even when God gives you the opportunity to govern, you must govern it as he who serves. As he who serves. Service. I beg you, my friends, live a life of service. Don't be a problem. Don't be too big. Don't be a problem. Are you with me? Everywhere you find yourself, don't be what? Don't be a problem. You know why you are a problem? Because you think you are big. Yeah. Reverend Austin is in the house. Let's jam our hands together for the man of God. You can have your seat. Don't be a what? Don't be a problem. Can someone say, I'm not a problem? No, no, say, I'm not a problem. Say, I'm a servant. Say, I'm a glorious servant. Say, what a privilege. No, no, you're not saying it like it's a privilege. You're not. Do you really mean it? Do you really mean it? When you find yourself anywhere, what's your seat? What's your seat? And that seat is usually empty, but it's a glorious one. And it's that seat that will keep your soul and impact you with humility, which is the only base upon which glory can sit. You see, when dramatists stop doing drama, the glorious people are just starting to leave. When drama is ended, glory is still on. That's the beauty. You see, glory does not die. You see, when you are doing drama, you and your drama will soon die because it takes energy to do drama. But when you're operating in the glory, there will be renewal. You won't do much, but much is happening. And then you will not put your name on what is happening. Like you know you can't tag yourself on it. It's not yours. Because what is happening is more than you. The Lord wants to make servants. When we are all servants, the quarrels on earth will reduce. There will be no quarrel. Because the insult will not get to you too much. Because you are not too far from deserving it. You are not too big. Eh? What do you want to do when you get anywhere? Eh? What do you want to do? What do you want to do with your wife? What do you want to do? You want to save her. What do you want to do with your husband? You don't want to save him. You just want to save him. That's a higher life above rules. It's higher than living based on rules. You just want to save. You just want to save him. Save her. But if you don't want to save her, you will just remember that you are the headship. You see? And then the head will start paining you because it's becoming heavy. Oh, we're just servants. What a blessing.
Yes, sir.
I said, what a blessing.
Yes, sir.
You know, Jesus just came to serve God. He is God, though, but he came to serve God. The Lord just mistakenly mentioned, who shall we send? And the man took the opportunity. Here I am, send me. Send me. I just want to serve. I don't like people who are serving me too much because I feel like they have a plan for my life. The person serving me is about to take my seat. So I double up on my own serving. Also I say, oh Lord, this is the secret person. Hope I've not turned to Saul in your eyes. I tell you, watch who is serving you. God is planning your throne for them. You better be careful. You know why God anoints servants? He anoints servants because they won't injure his people.
Servants who enjoy his people. That's why when you are choosing leaders in your churches, all the pastors who are here, you see, calm down on the gifted. Gift doesn't change lives. It's amazing, but it doesn't change lives. Look for the servants. When the servants are there, there's glory. You see, service and glory is synonymous. And after a while, the giftings will begin to manifest. You know what? I'm seeing you, and what I'm seeing is a beautiful thing. I'm seeing you living a beautiful life of divine humility. You see, I'm seeing the ease of God manifest through you. I'm seeing God not having it difficult to use you. Because you are not rebellious against God, and you are not rebellious against God's people. I see kingdom life happening with you stresslessly. I see God counting it joy to give you his daughter, to give you his son. I see God finding it easy to give you nations. Because he knows that your heart is humble and you have been broken. You know, the Lord says that this one will I look unto. God says, I love it. I have heaven. I have earth. But I still need a place. He said, but this one will I look at. The one that has a contrite heart and a broken spirit. He says, that one, I would make my abode with that one. And I say, the Lord making his abode with you. I tell you, I say you walk in glory. I say you walk in power. I say you walk in glory. I say you walk in power. I don't know if you can see these things. I said you are walking in glory. I see you. I see you walk in glory. I see you walk in power. You see, I said divine things happening to you easily, easily, easily. You know what I saw? I saw things you are not chasing coming to you. And you're like, oh Lord, why this again? And God says, I love you. You are making things easy for the kingdom. Is that your story? Why are you not grateful to God? Why are you not? Come on. Come on, be grateful to the Lord. Come on. Come on, be grateful. Be grateful to the Lord. Come on, let the Lord hear your voice. Let thanksgiving. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Can you release thanksgiving? Let utterances of the Spirit everywhere, in the overflows, everywhere. Let's give praise. Listen to me, friends. Will God regret it that he saved us?
No.
Will he regret that he anointed us?
No.
Is it not a good thing that he saved us? We know where we were before this God picked us up. We know where we were. We know where we would have been if Jesus didn't come for us. You will not be on this mountain for 5 days as young as you are. You will be in other crazy places. It is the blood and the mercy of God that brought us here. We're not about to spoil it all. We're about to show gratitude, praise, and worship. Bless him, bless him. Bless him, bless him. Bless him. Bless him, bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Oh, yes, bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him, bless him. Asha Kotea, bless him. Can we have our voices everywhere? Everywhere, utterances of gratitude. Oh, Shamina. Aradina Masia. Oh. Oh, Shahdabala Gadias. Akapasha Mama Mane. Ah, picked me up from the miry clay, set my feet on the rock to stay. Just a papa, now you made a king. You put your crown now upon my head. Who am I? You set my feet. Just a pauper. You put your crown. Say, who am I? Yes, Lord. Cause all you have, shout you our praise. This worship is for you. Come. See the lifting of my hands. It's unto you. It's unto you. Hey, hey. Say you are precious, Yahweh. Ah! See the lifting of my hands. See it. Yes, yeah. It's unto you. It's unto you. You picked me up from the miry clay. You set my feet on the rock to stay. Just a pauper now, you made a king. You put your crown now upon my head. Who am I? All I have. I shall get here. And all you have. One more time, you picked me up, Lord. You set my feet. I'm just a pauper. You put your crown. Who am I? Ahay! Shalakato Messiah. You are praised here, Yahweh. You are praised here, Yahweh. You are praised here. This worship is for you. Hey, Shaba. I come, Peredias. I see Taya. See the lifting.
the lifting of my head, the lifting of my head. Oh. Yes, it's unto you. Oh, yeah. You've got praise, yeah, Yahweh. Lifting up my head. He's unto you alone. Can't you see the lifting up my head? The lifting up my head. Oh, yes, it's unto you. Lord, you can see the lifting of my head. It's unto no one else but you. Lord, you can see the lifting of my holy head. Oh, it's unto you alone. It's unto you, it's unto you, oh Lord. It's unto you, it's unto you, oh Lord. It's unto you, lift your hand and bless him, bless him.